Especially is going to introduce item two, dealing with compliance costs for REACH. Takashi?
Yes. Good morning. This issue is related to compliance costs for REACH. This is the third time to make a decision to whether this issue meets the criteria of agenda or not. And the purpose of this meeting is to ask VFLIC to make a decision on the agenda criteria. And thank you for your assistance on the survey of practice about REACH costs, as well as other registration costs. The survey results are included in Appendix A, Appendix B, I would like to summarize the results of the survey. These are summarized in paragraph 6 to 11, but the first question about treatment of REACH costs. The current practice seems to be expensed. The reason is, firstly, materiality, the amount is insignificant. In 2008, I think this is because 2008 is just a period of pre-registration costs. That's not exact registration. I mean, pre-registration just involves a mapping of substance and product. So actual testing will happen in 2009 and onwards for 10 years. And also, based on the survey, we have found a firm guidance, a big firm guidance consistent on, generally consistent on the application of IS-38. And with connection to the survey on other compliance costs, there are some degree of divergence. This is because, firstly, a judgment whether that meets those costs meet definition of life, not intangible assets in accordance with IS-38 or not. And another factor seems to be materiality. Insignificant materiality end up with automatically expense treatment. So the staff view is, staff recommendation is still compliance cost for REACH does not meet this agenda criteria because the first year divergence caused by materiality and does not trigger a development of the interpretation. And secondly, I still think the staff still think IS-38 provides clear guidance to treat this kind of cost.
Thank you, Mr. Ashi. Just before we go through anything else, just to be clear, if anybody has any update to the research material that you provided, if there's been any change in practice that you've noticed over the past few weeks, or so the survey still reflects current practice. But, okay. So I'd open to questions then. Staff proposal is that we don't take this item onto the agenda. Anybody like to comment on that?
I do not fully agree with the idea to do not include this item in the agenda because it's clear that just at the moment, the situation is mainly linked with the small materiality of the amount expense, but it's quite clear that REACH costs could be quite relevant, and the estimates were made also by the European Union are around 2.5 or 3 trillion euros. So it's a huge amount, and I think that inside the EAF 38 is, in my opinion, quite clear, but looking at the analysis performed, I'm now not really sure that there could be an homogeneous treatment, and so there could be the risk to have a really different treatment due to the materiality, due to the judgment. I think that we should provide some guidance or be more explicit in the tentative agenda decision in Indicate. It's clear in EAF 38 what, if you have to capitalize or not. I think that there are in this paper, but in several papers, every time we say it's clear inside the IFRS, but if you look at the paper, it's not so clear, and there are some consideration made that help you to define. So I think that we should be more clear in indicating. I believe that this topic is quite relevant, and for a substantial point of view, we should include it in our agenda. But looking at the substantial of this, we have made, the IFRS has made other analysis on other European Union directives similar or linked with some other kind of cost similar to this, and I believe that probably not from a technical point of view, but from a substantial point of view, there is the need to produce an interpretation or a guidance also expressed in a tentative agenda decision, in which is clear what is written in the paper, because it's the wording adopted is too squeezed, and it's not clear which is the conclusion.
I mean, we had the original question that came through on electrical waste and how that would be dealt with, which was a specific. Certainly there are going to be issues that come up from European directives and other directives in other countries around the world that are going to be material and important. So I don't think we're saying that because it's not material now, we're not going to deal with it. The focus is on whether there is anything, and this is what the staff analysis was about, whether there is anything specific about this type of legislation that we needed to give more or provide more interpretive guidance to help people to understand the principles when others came out. And the staff said, well, really, we think that IS 38 is sufficient in itself, that people have been accustomed to working with that and determining how to deal with these items. But then that's provoked a reaction. But Peggy, if you can come in first.
I agree with Luca that I believe that our the response, the written response, it says IAS 38 is clear, and I don't think it's completely clear, and I think we could just give a little bit more color in that response as to what portions of IAS 38 we think are the appropriate references so people understand why it's clear.
I would draw a significant difference with the electrical waste, where I think there was a real issue around when a liability arose and how that liability is to be recognised. I don't think that is addressed anywhere in the literature. And I always note that we don't actually have a liability standard anywhere. We have a provision standard, but we don't have a liability standard. So I think there was a real need there, and I think that was a general worldwide issue. As regards these costs, the REACH costs, I do think we have a standard which directly addresses them. I think there are significant issues in determining the right answer in any particular case, but I think it is down to any particular case, because I think there will be different circumstances, there will be different money spent at different times, and I think that it is essentially a judgment issue and an application issue as to what the right answer is in any particular case. I don't think we could actually produce anything that would have meaningful address all that beyond what is already in I-38.
I don't believe that. I agree. It might be become a substantial issue, but I don't think we need an interpretation, because I think that there are quite substantial answers in I-38. But I think we should be more specific in the wording for rejection. We had a substantial discussion last time about the fact that whether we should treat differently a new and old substance, saying that there was
it seems that there wasn't too much discussion about new substances, but maybe some about already existing substance. So I think we should make clear that everything is covered by 38, and if we if the criteria in 38 are reached, we should be able to capitalize them. And right now, the way the wording for rejection is written is not clearly, in my view, not sufficient guidance in wording for rejection. But I don't believe that we need an interpretation. Right.
Thank you. Good morning. I just wanted to say that based on the paper prepared by the staff, it seems that the application problems are mainly related to existing substances. I think there are very interesting things included in paragraph 33 and the following, because the views, the diverging views expressed by some of the audit firms are reminded there, and I think in the rejection decision, it would be useful to explain what is the current practice that is observed, and what is the analysis of IFRIC. I think it's important, for instance, to say that what is IFRIC's position as regards what some view as subsequent development costs, and therefore decide to extend and do not allow the capitalization of costs?
I think it's important for everybody to remember that agenda decisions are not supposed to provide guidance. Interpretations provide, if we want to provide guidance, we have to do an interpretation. You're right that we can point people in the right direction, but we've clearly indicated what standard we think is applicable to these costs. And I think it's also important for everybody to remember that the papers that are here are publicly available, sitting on the website, and don't go away. But the list of agenda decisions tells people what meetings the matter was discussed at. And so all of this background information is, in fact, available on the website if people think they need more guidance. But I would be, and certainly in the past, the IFRIC has been particularly resistant to providing paragraph numbers and direction in terms of some of these things. So I think we need to be kind of careful about what we think we're doing in an agenda decision compared to an interpretation. So it's a balancing act. I think we can change the words to take out clear if we want to say that 38 provides sufficient guidance to guide the exercise of judgment. But I'm a little concerned about trying to pick a whole bunch of stuff out of the staff analysis in this one when we haven't done it in most of the other things we've been dealing with.
I think we should take it onto the agenda because I don't think IS 38 is clear, and I agree that we can't deal with this issue sufficiently in a rejection notice. I think IS 38 is not clear for a number of reasons. Probably the main reason is that it doesn't help us to distinguish between an internally generated asset in its own right and an asset that already exists, such as these substances that we already have, and how we deal with the costs relating to that existing substance. I think 38 is clear when you're developing a patent or a legal right or something. It's very clear, and paragraph 57, et cetera, are clear. But it's not clear when you're dealing with other costs that relate to an existing physical asset, which is what we have. And I think that is our problem. What we've been trying to grapple with is, we have a physical asset, and now we're incurring other costs. In the case of an existing asset, you could argue that these other costs prevent that inventory from being impaired, for example, because by virtue of your having registered these chemicals, you can now use them and freely use them. If you didn't register them, maybe they're impaired because, you know, what can you do with them if you haven't registered them? I don't think 38 helps you with that. And possibly it's easier when you have new substances that you're developing because the right is developed with them and you can maybe wrap them together, so it's easier to do that. So my view is, and we started this discussion at the last meeting, I guess I was a bit disappointed that the paper didn't even go there. It didn't talk about whether the right is a separate right and whether you distinguish between the physical and the non-physical asset. So my view is that 38 doesn't help us, and we will have divergence in practice, particularly with existing substances, and I think it is worth proceeding. And I don't think it's only in respect of reach costs. I think we had some examples of other registration rights, for example, where we have this particular issue of a physical asset and then some other cost related to it.
When you say a physical asset, are you just talking about the inventory?
Yes, the inventory.
Because, I mean, that's a comparatively insignificant part of it. The registration of an existing product may relate to some inventory you've got on hand, but it actually allows you to manufacture and sell substantially greater quantities in the future, which isn't really in substance much different from the right to produce and sell a new product.
And that's what I think we're grappling with is these costs give us that right. And how should we account for that right as a right, or do we account for the costs by adding them to an existing physical asset? For example, I don't think 38 helps us in that regard.
I'm getting slightly confused because I thought the IFRC decided very clearly at the last meeting that if we were talking about any asset, the asset was the right, but there wasn't anything else involved, and therefore we were only dealing with 38. But if that's not the case, then I think we better go back and start over again.
A couple of things. I agree with Patrick and with Ruth to some extent that with respect to existing substances, I didn't think that 38 was necessarily clear. Quite frankly, happy with the answer that the staff has come to, but I wouldn't necessarily have gotten there. And part of it is embodied in paragraph 34 of the paper. The staff is of the view that the registration costs for existing substances would meet the asset recognition criteria. That is, even if taking view one, that it is an added expenditure related to an already existing intangible, that the costs do not have to be expenses incurred. I frankly think that's a very big point, and given that there are some people I know who have read paragraph 20 when it says, very rarely will such costs be capitalizable, they have said, I'm not making the leap that I have one of those very rare situations, yet we have made that leap here. Have we made it in the context of reach, or have we made it in the context of, in general, a new requirement to get a license to do something you already were doing? I'm not comfortable that we have fleshed that out sufficiently. It can't be fleshed out sufficiently in an agenda decision, as Tricia has already explained. I find it odd that we say we can't flesh it out in the agenda decision, but don't worry, the paper is still available. That doesn't work for me. So I think if we believe that registration costs like this for already existing substances could be material, or are likely to be material, I prefer to take this on and explain what it is that we believe is embodied in these facts that means that we have achieved the very rare situation in paragraph 20 of IAS 38, or why we believe that paragraph 20 is not the right paragraph to look at, that we believe we're in other parts of 38.
All I was going to say is that I agree with, well, starting with Luca and with Peggy, that use of the term that 38 is clear, I think it's hard for us to say that since we've spent months trying to figure out what 38 really did say, and then we've come to the conclusion that it's clear and it wasn't. To me, and we've just continued a discussion which indicates that it probably isn't. You know, we're thinking maybe we even need to take this on to the agenda. So if we choose to not take it on the agenda, maybe we just need to say that we would refer, I realize we don't want to give too much guidance, but that we would refer constituents to IS 38 and that we didn't take it on the agenda because anything we would provide would be implementation guidance as opposed to interpretation guidance. But I'm really hesitant with that word clear.
Would it help the discussion if we said that we would change those words to say that 38 provides the definition and recognition criteria for intangible assets that provide sufficient guidance for entities to apply the regulation without applying a specific interpretation? We can get rid of clear if clear is what people are stumbling over.
Can you also get rid of sufficient?
Well, I'm in favor of not taking it onto the agenda, and I'm also in favor of basically leaving the rejection note as it is, maybe crossing out clear and sufficiently, if Sarah's in favor of that, because I think the survey indicated that there is no divergence in practice as of now, and even though we think that there might develop something, and we think that the standard is not sufficiently clear in certain circumstances, we're dealing with practical issues here and not with some theoretical, although I favor that as well, with some theoretical issues. So I think we should not take it onto the agenda. And the reference to IS 38 gives us, I think, enough space that, let's say, in a year or so, there is divergence in practice, and we can reconsider and say, look, they didn't consider it under IS 39 consistently, so let's look at it again. But right now, I don't see why we should discuss it any further.
I would agree with that, and I was very worried where Ruth and Scotton were trying to take us, because it seems to me I fully understand what they're saying, and they're right. There are some difficult issues in here, but the emphasis on issues in the plural, there will be lots of different circumstances, and I think that the difficulties that in particular Ruth is pointing to is application guidance. I really think that goes beyond an interpretation that says, here is the issue, here is the interpretation. It is application guidance. There will be difficult judgments to be made. That's the nature of accounting.
Effectively, I support that. I really strongly believe that we should not take this onto the agenda. Whether clear is the right word or not, but there is guidance in IAS 38. And to me, when you look at IAS 38, you then have to apply judgment as to whether in your circumstance the situation allows you to capitalise or it doesn't allow you to capitalise. And there are a myriad of different circumstances of similar types of costs, and some will be when the chemicals, if we use chemicals, have already been developed, and some will be when they haven't. And you can't, to me, if we do decide to take this onto the agenda, what we are doing is very clearly writing rules and very detailed, or take it the other way, very detailed application or implementation guidance. But the guidance is, to me, is clearly there, whether it is clear, but the guidance is there in IS 38, and then to me it is the application of judgment. And I do not believe, and I said this right at the beginning when I started at IFRIC, that we should be taking away judgment. And a number of these today, and I will say this now, but I'll probably reiterate it going through the day, I wonder whether we should be fully actually in our agenda decision, actually acknowledging judgment and actually putting it back onto people, because I have a change to, suggested change to this decision, which I will say now, which is actually not in there so much as sufficiently clear, and I agree I would get rid of that and probably just simply say that IS 38 provides guidance. But it's actually the next paragraph,
where we say the IFRIC has not identified any diversity in practice and given the guidance did not expect any to emerge. I actually think there we're slightly kidding ourselves, and it comes through in some of the others. And what I would actually say is the IFRIC has not identified any diversity in practice, and although it acknowledges that some divergence might arise as a result of the exercise of judgment, and then I have square brackets about the next bit, and materiality considerations, I'm not sure about that, but I don't think I've put that in, such divergence would not trigger the development of an interpretation. And I think we should be clear and honest and say to our constituents that just because you've got to use judgment does not mean we're going to develop an interpretation. And I know that's going beyond where we've been before, but effectively, I think that's a large part of the discussion that we're having here, and we're not being transparent in telling people that that's why we're not going to take it on. So I would not take it on, but I would add that on the basis that people have still got to use their judgment.
Yeah, we've got to take a decision whether it's going on the agenda or not before we come to the wording of that decision. But just as a word of caution, I'm not averse to describing that people need to use judgment, but I wouldn't object to saying that there is divergence in practice as a result of judgment. The judgment actually may give you different results based on the facts, and that will be the point to get across. I've got a few people wanting to go in now. Tak, then Daryl, then Andrew, then John.
I agree that we do not take it on its agenda, but probably we need a different opportunity to talk about what kind of information we should provide to the people who can't understand how to deal with the rich accounting. Actually, this agenda paper is one of the best accounting guidance for rich, probably, as of now, the best in the world. And so it is a waste not providing this analysis to preparers who are actually wondering how to do it. So probably we might think about how to provide information, not just leave it on the homepage only, but just we may have another way to provide this kind of good analysis to the preparers. But as long as I read the research and analysis of this REACH treatment, I agree that we do not take it onto its agenda.
As a preparer with two different audit terms, I would be very nervous when auditors disagree with each other. I'm not sure that there's not actually two points in here. I think the judgment one is the judgment discussion we've had is very, very relevant to existing two new products where we've been through the process and we know exactly what judgment needs to be applied. My concern is that almost the difference of opinion that seems to exist is simply around what happens with existing products. None of the existing license or registration discussions that were polled from the members of IFRIC dealt with old licenses that were suddenly having to be paid for. And I'm not sure that that's not the issue, and I don't think IS38 deals with that specific issue. Nor do I think that is a judgment issue so much as a principle issue.
Well, I was just picking up on the point in the last paragraph. Instead of referring about judgment, I would actually just delete that first sentence about diversity, because the fact that there's no diversity at the moment is pretty irrelevant, because it's all due to immateriality, Anna. And I think if we're going to apply judgment, then to say that, I think we are kidding ourselves to say that if where judgment is applied, no diversity will emerge. So I'm happy not to take it onto the agenda, but I would just delete that first sentence, that third paragraph.
I'm also happy not to take it on the agenda. I had the same comment as Andrew, that there's not, when we say IFRIC has not identified any diversity in practice, I thought I understood that the big accounting firms have a different position on the accounting for that. So I would expect that unless we address it, there would be, it's only because of materiality or because it's early in the process, but diversity in practice would exist. So I think I would be prudent with a statement like that. And the reference to IS 38 is actually a position. I always find that I'm a bit with Scott, but that we don't take it on the agenda, but we are I tend to agree with, I think it would be to almost to try to amend IS 38 to say to state that the guidance of IS 38 is not sufficient to determine whether that there's an intangible asset or not to this situation, and it would end up with application guidance on that. Although I'm a little concerned with the comments that Scott made and the reference to paragraph 1A, which basically seems to lead to contradict, I think, what I think I understand, that these costs can be capitalizable even for existing products. I'm okay with the reference to IS 38, but honestly, it's going to be a difficult task to apply, but it's probably a judgment call anyway.
I'm sorry to say, as an enforcer, that another subject that we have on the agenda today, which is included in the agenda paper 10, shows that it's already difficult to have a consistent application of subjects for which the IFRIC decided earlier on to reject a submission. And based on the wording used in the IFRIC update. So I have many doubts as to our ability to enforce and to have a consistent application of agenda decisions if the argumentation is not available in the IFRIC update but somewhere on the website, because I think many issues won't go there and the information will not be known. So I understand that many of you believe that it's only a problem of application guidance. If this is the case, then I would suggest that you refer this problem to the board in order to have an improvement or an amendment to IS 38 to deal with this problem, because I think it will be significant in the future, starting this year, for European companies at least. So that would be my suggestion.
All right. Gilbert, do you want to make a final comment before I sum up?
I think for me, the as a board member, maybe for you too, the optimal solution of it is when it doesn't take it on the agenda and does not refer it to the board.
Nice work.
No, I understand that the paragraph 20 is in fact says one thing and the contrary of one thing. It's difficult to read paragraph 20 and to know how it would apply to already existing products. Clearly or not clearly, you may come to two different readings, and this is what judgment comes in. You may consider it doesn't add to the value of the already existing asset, or you may consider it is part of it. In any case, I don't see what else we could say except that you have to exercise justice. I was also wondering whether in the guidance the did not expect to emerge was part or was not part of the IFRIC criteria for the agenda. The diversity in practice expected to emerge, is that part of the criteria we normally use?
Yeah. If there's current divergence, or if we expect in the absence of an interpretation that there would be divergence, then that's a factor that we consider.
We don't know yet, but what also troubled me, because I was naive there, I wasn't the preceding discussion, is that in fact most of the non-divergence in practice seems to be related to the insignificance of the amount, which of course doesn't help us, because if it is insignificant, we don't deal with it. Okay, I have nothing to add to that.
Okay, everybody's had an opportunity to weigh in on this. The first question was a relatively simple one, but I think it's been useful to go a little bit beyond there in getting a sense of the depth of people's feelings. But really the first question we've got to focus on is the one that the staff put forward. So I'd ask if anybody objects to the staff recommendation that we don't take the agenda. So that's two. Okay. That in a way makes it a little bit easier for me to say the next thing, because if there were a large number of people who didn't agree with the staff, but not a majority, then for the benefit of the people that have not experienced this before, our practice has been, it's not a formal procedure, but our practice would be that it would be difficult to actually write a clear explanation of why we weren't taking it onto the agenda, because there was such wide divergence of views among the IFRIC itself. That would have given us another problem, of course, because for those who want a little bit more elaboration in the agenda decision, we can only give that elaboration if people actually all agree with the decision. So with two against, I think we can now consider then the wording that we're going to use to describe the agenda decision. Now, I don't want to go through, this is not a drafting meeting. We deal with that always outside the meeting. The comments will come back. We just want to make sure that we've got the core messages that we want to put across. One of the recurring themes that's come through this morning is that, and thank you for it very eloquently, I think that this is the best paper, the best guidance that's ever been written on this particular topic. I'm sure Ms. Ashley is very pleased to hear those comments, as are we all. So perhaps then they shouldn't be lost in the midst of cyberspace. We need to discuss, because it's not something we can direct the foundation to do, but we have an educational division, and perhaps this is an issue on which some educational supplement could be provided with even more haste than it would appear on IS Plus. Sorry, can I? I saw your hand being raised then. So it's an important issue to consider for this and other occasions, but if we've got some material that we think is helpful for people to understand and refer to, then we need to make it available, and perhaps though not in a way that is seen as an essential part of our agenda decision. We've had these discussions before, that we try and keep the agenda decision concise and on the point, because it's not meant to be authoritative. The more explanation we give, the more it seems like we're providing interpretive guidance or application guidance, which would then be, I think, confusing to enforcers, to users, to auditors, and certainly to the preparer community. So we've got to try and separate the two points, but we do need to make sure the sufficient background that people understand, perhaps, where specifically to look for these points. The other comment as to whether or not, if there is divergence of opinion among the major audit firms at the moment, that will continue. It's always our hope and expectation that discussions around this table, that the decisions that are made here, are taken into account in any reassessment that the firm might have, where it appears that the decision that we have taken, that is the non-decision that we've taken, would have any bearing on that firm individually. And whilst what we say is non-authoritative, we hope that it's persuasive. So we would hope that we've been sufficiently persuasive that there will not be divergence among the audit firms in encouraging their clients to go in one particular direction or another, using judgment as appropriate. Ken, would you like to comment?
Chairman, I certainly agree we shouldn't get into drafting. And on that basis, I just say, having listened to the debate around the table in terms of what we should say in the objection, it seems to me that the logic stream is that the middle paragraph should say that the requirements are setting out in IS 38, it shouldn't be commenting on whether they're sufficient or clear or anything. And the last paragraph should merely say anything that we did would be in the way of application guidance. So I think Andrew's suggesting dropping the first sentence, but I think that's the logic stream. And just coming back to Daryl's point about there being different things in the firm's books, I think that's exactly on point, because I don't think the firms do or ever should issue interpretations through their books. I think that those books are seen as application guidance, and therefore the fact that this would be application guidance is completely consistent with that and the fact that there are differences there.
Can the staff confirm the drafting suggestions? I would, from what I've heard, I think we need to change the wording of the second sentence, of the second paragraph, to say 38 includes definitions and recognition criteria for intangible assets that provide guidance for entities, and that we would delete the first sentence of the third paragraph, and
the other question is, do people want us to pick up some of the thoughts that Jelena had in the drafting, or should we leave it the way it is?
I really would not like to make reference to judgment in the agenda decision, because I don't think it's a question of judgment. I think it is a difference in principle. It's not a judgment decision. But judgment to me means a materiality type of decision. I think here we're dealing with a difference in the principle as to how you apply Para 20 and other paras of the standard. And I don't think it is a judgment issue. So I would be happy with it as it is, which is quite bland and as amended by Tricia, but not to make reference to judgment or materiality.
I'll agree. I think a lot of the application of 38 to reach will be based on judgment, but I think there is a principal issue, and to suggest that we believe the divergence that results will be solely because of judgment, I think is not correct. I think there is a principal issue with respect to existing substances that we've decided not to address.
Can we make a reference to the education material that will be developed, or is that inappropriate?
No, it's Chinese walls in this organisation. There's people on the other side that we might not be able to push into it.
Chairman, just as an offer, I'd have no problems with a reference to IS Plus.
Well, that's satisfying you, Ben. We won't make the reference, but Ken will. All right. Then, as always, the revised wording will be circulated after the meeting, and if you give comments back, Patricia will remind you of the timing of that at the end of this meeting. Ms. Ashley, thank you very much for such an excellent paper. It's a pity that you didn't follow through in the agenda decision, but I'm sure you thought it